First Peter chapter 4. Hope everyone had a good week. It's been an exciting week here at church. As usual, had a lot of stuff going on here, lots of different ministry opportunities, lots of different things happening at the church. It's exciting being here and seeing the building getting used pretty much every single day, getting to see different facilities being used for different reasons. It's exciting to run into different ones of you as you come here throughout the week. But I always look forward to Sunday, get to see everyone at once. I was talking to someone the other day who said they saw me last week and I didn't remember seeing them. And I realized it's because usually I'm at least leading the songs and everyone sees me, but I don't see everyone. So if you feel like you saw me but I didn't see you, then there's kind of good reason for that. It's when I'm usually speaking or leading music, I'm sure Pastor Randy and Pastor Mike can attest to this. You don't actually make eye contact with every single person. You kind of find your favorite people. So you have like the ones that are like looking at you or the ones that aren't looking at you, so then you don't have to worry about eye contact or anything. And usually I look at my wife, but she's kind of all the way in the back ever since we had our little disturber recently. Which she has been an incredible little girl in the services until last Sunday night when I pinched her or something and she let out a blood-curdling scream. So everyone heard that she actually does have a good set of lungs. But it's good to have my mother-in-law and her sister here with us this week. We're excited to have them, been able to get out and do some things and see the area with them. And I know my wife is excited to have them as well. So 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to preach this morning about living with an eternal perspective. Living with an eternal perspective. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to read verses 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge that this passage has been to me this week as I've been preparing it. And I pray that it'll be a conviction and a challenge to all of us this morning. Lord, each one of us need to consider how we are living our lives. Lord, if someone is here today and they don't know for sure where they're going to spend eternity, this is a vital message for them. Lord, but for those of us that have our eternity secure, we know where we're going. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to how we are living our life here on this earth, and if we are truly living it for you. Lord, I pray that you would use us in each one of our lives today, and that everything that is said and done would be to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. When I think about things in life that take a long time, I was sitting there thinking about the different things that, as I go throughout my life or throughout the week and the day, different things that I interact with that feel like they take forever. I think one of the classic examples of that is the line at the DMV or the Department of Licensing, like we have here. I grew up in a very small town. We had 800 people on a good day. And the DMV in our town, we didn't have one in our town, we had one in our county. And our county had less people than, well, easily less people than West Richland all combined. And so our DMV was pretty small, but it always felt like it took forever there. There was like four or five people in line. It was just a ridiculously long wait. And then I moved out here. And the second week we were here, we went to get our licenses changed over. And I was like, well, it opens at like 10, so we'll get there at like a little after it opens. Just give them a little time to get stuff settled and things that we should be there pretty early. It was like 10 on a Tuesday, so like middle of the week. And so we get there like 10:15, and the parking lot was pretty full. I was like, wow, there must be a lot of people that work around here. And as I'm walking up with my wife, I see like people standing just kind of outside. I was like, is this like a hangout? There's like gangs around here or something? I was like, what's going on here? And I got to open the door, and there's a lot, like, the building is full of people. 15 minutes after it opened. And we sat there for 2 hours. Two hours. I was like, what is this? I miss my small town. Like, that long line was nothing. But, you know, you get to the end of that, you finally get through, and it actually was really difficult because they didn't actually take my picture when I went through. So they took my picture, but then they lost it somehow in the process. So at least I have to wait all through the line again. But, you know, it's never easy when you go there. But as I looked back on that, in the scheme of things, really that 2 hours wasn't that long. It felt like an eternity while I was in the middle of it. It feels like an eternity when you go there. It feels like an eternity when you're sitting at a stoplight and it's taking forever to change. Like, you're over on the corner of Burden and Road 68, and you're sitting there, and it's like, this is taking forever and forever. You're over on George Washington Way anywhere, and it takes forever for the stoplight to change. You have that slow person in front of you on the highway as they're merging. You know, you're sitting at a restaurant, and I'm not talking about a fast food restaurant, but you're sitting at a real sit-down restaurant, and sometimes it just takes a long time. You never go to a restaurant when you're not really hungry. That kind of defeats the purpose. So you get there, and you're sitting down, and you're waiting for food, and it seems like it just takes forever to get there. Last night, my wife and I were able to go out on our first date in 5 months, which was a huge blessing. Thankful to have my mother-in-law and her sister watch Emma, and they survived. And we were able to go out, and we went out to eat, and we had dinner. And I'd kind of forgotten how long it takes. And they kind of bait you. We went to Outback Steakhouse, and they bring that bread. It looks like healthy bread because it's brown. But when they bring you 3 loaves because you just keep eating it, I think it kind of defeats the purpose. But you're hungry. You're starving. You're ready for that steak or for whatever else you're getting. But as we look back on the other side of it, we realize that, you know, the time really didn't take all that long. It felt like it in the middle of it, but it didn't actually take that long. When we get to the end of our lives, we're going to look back and we're going to realize that our lives were extremely short. Amen, that there was really, you know, it felt like it was a long time in the middle of it. There really was not that much time. Now, obviously, I don't have nearly the experience that some of you have. But in the 25 years that I've been on this earth, Pastor Randy could give you a much better example of this. On the 25 years that I've been on this earth, I can look back and I can just think like how fast everything has gone, specifically in the last 7 years. From the time that I went to college to where I am at now, some major, major things have happened in my life. I met more than 800 people when I went off to school. I met a bunch of other fellow Christians people at the college I went to. I met my best friends that I have in life right now. I met my wife. I found out what I wanted to do with my life for sure. I found out where I was going to live for the rest of the time, moved out here to Washington. I now have a child. It's been a crazy last few years, but it has gone by like that. And I'm sure, like I said, most of you could say, well, you know nothing. I mean, it goes much, much faster the further you get. But when we consider our lives and what we have done in the last week or the last month or the last year or the last 10 years, can we look back and say that we have been living for the moment and what we were in, or are we living for eternity? Were we living for ourselves, or were we living for Christ? That is what we want to look at this morning. How are we living our lives? Are we living with an eternal perspective, or just a perspective of whatever happens now is going to be fine? Are we missing out on what the Lord has for us and the opportunities that He has for us in life? I want you to see, first of all, why we need an eternal perspective. Why we need an eternal perspective. The beginning of verse 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand." Now, this is very specifically referring to the return of Christ, the very imminent return of Christ, that He could come back at any time. You know, we don't know when Christ is going to come back. We don't know what point in time that Christ is going to return. He Himself does not even know, but only God the Father does. But we need to be preparing as if it could be today, as if it could be tomorrow. And are we living in light of that and that coming up? You know, 1 Thessalonians talks about that we can look forward to that time when Christ returns. But it is a very much a reality. Christ could come back at any time. And we also need to realize not only could Christ return at any time, But we could go home to glory, or we could go off to everlasting life, wherever we end up in life after we die. That could happen at any point and any time. We don't have any guarantee that we will be on this earth tomorrow. We don't have any guarantee that all of us will be back at church this evening. We don't know where we will be at, because we have no guarantee of that. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that is here for just a short time, and then it's gone. Our life is as a vapor. If you've ever been out in out here, we don't have a lot of humidity, which I'm very thankful for. Moving from Illinois, we have humidity. When you go out on a cold morning and there's a lot of moisture in the air, and you take a deep breath and you exhale, you see your breath like just everywhere, just fill it. I've been on many early morning hunts when it's been like 0 degrees and it's been a lot of moisture in there, and you're just breathing and you see all this your breath coming out, but it doesn't last a long time. Even on the coldest morning, it'll kind of hang there and then it kind of disappears. And what James is saying is that is what our life is like. It's like a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. We can't say that it's going to just kind of hang out there. We're going to be living forever. And we're going to get to that in a second. We're going to live forever somewhere, but not here on this earth. Our life here on this earth is as a vapor. Job talks about how our days are just as a shadow. It just kind of passes away. It's just here, and then it's gone. If you ever go and you look at a tombstone, you know, it's a very interesting thing. You have two dates. If the person is actually buried there yet. Some people do the tombstones beforehand, so you just have the date, and then you have a dash, and you have the other date. That dash represents their life. That's the sum total. If you don't know that person at all, you don't know anything about them, you go to the cemetery, you see that dash, that's their life. That's all that you know about it. It doesn't go into all this detail. You might see Fred was a great guy, or Fred was a good fisherman, but you don't really know anything about him. You just have that little dash, and that's the whole amount of their life. I want to give you an illustration this morning. You may have seen this before, but I have here a rope. I'm going to take this rope. I'm going to kind of throw it over here, kind of pull it across here. And you notice there's a rather long rope. It's going to stretch all the way over to there. And on this end, I have this little bit of red. Now, I want you to consider that this rope just goes on forever. Now, it doesn't. It ends at the wall, but it kind of goes over here. But consider this rope is eternity. This rope just goes on forever and forever and forever and forever. It has no end. This is our life. This is what we have here on this earth. You know, in relation to this whole rope here, it's a pretty small amount. Now you might say, well, that's a pretty little good chunk of rope there, but compared to the rest of this, it's not long at all. You see, we have the beginning of our life. We're born. All of us are born. We grow up, we become a teenager, we get our driver's license, we go off to college, we get a job, we get married, we have kids, you know, you live the typical American dream. You go through your middle age, you have grandkids, you go off to retirement, and then we die. And then we have eternity. And yet, how many of us live everything and every amount of every day for this portion of eternity? And that everything that we do is all about this small portion. You consider about how silly we are sometimes. You know, we live our whole life so that we can save up and we earn money and we get all this and we save it. We have all this for ourselves so that we can really enjoy that portion right there. Now, it's laughable, but isn't that what we do? Isn't it how we, you know, this is natural for us. It's how we live our lives. And I'm not saying it's wrong to save up money so you can have a good retirement, you can be comfortable in your life, but how can we better use that time? How can we take this small portion and make a bigger impact on all of eternity? Is there a better way? Is there a better way to live our life? You see, it's natural for us to live our life focused on this small portion. This is what everyone in the world is doing. This is what everyone around us is doing in this world. But the problem is, should we as believers be living the same way? Should we as believers be focused on this small portion? You know, God's word has something very clearly that it says about that. we see that we cannot be focused on that small part. You see, what happens in this life impacts us for eternity. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Folks, is your treasure here on this earth? Is everything that you have ever accumulated in life all focused on this earth and the life that we live here? And this long life, you know, the life expectancy you may live till you're in your 80s or your 90s or whatever? Is it all focused in that time period that seems like a long time right now, but in reality is such a short time? Or are we laying up treasures in heaven so that when we get to eternity, we can look back on our life and we can say that it was a well-lived life in the sense that we prepared for eternity. It wasn't just a waste. We didn't use everything that God gave us and the gifts that He gives us and the treasures that He gives us for ourselves. We didn't just waste it. And it's not just going to be all wood, hay, and stubble that gets burned up. But is it going to turn out as true treasure, as gold, that will be purified and we can give to our Savior? How are we living our lives? Are we living our lives in light of eternity? Why do we need to live in light of eternity? Because everything that happens here on this earth impacts eternity. But let me ask you this. Who needs to live in light of eternity? So we have the why, but who needs this eternal perspective? Simply put, everyone. Each and every single one of us here this morning, each and every single one of us in this world needs to live with an eternal perspective. Those of us that are saved need to live with an eternal perspective. We have the best idea of eternity than anyone, because if you have truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, hopefully you realize that this life is not what we're truly here for. That we're here for eternity. We're here for the long haul. We should hopefully grasp and understand that. We should have no excuse for living for ourselves here on this earth. And we're going to come back to how we as believers should live. But there's also a second group. I don't know the situation of everyone here today, but my assumption is that there is a few people here that may not have that eternal security locked up. You don't know where you're going to spend eternity. Maybe you haven't ever considered the question, what is eternity? Isn't this life just... we live this life and then we're done. You see, if we were to be here on this earth and this was all that mattered, and then we died and that was it, it would make sense to get the most out of this life. It would make perfect sense to live for that red portion of our life, because that's it. That's all that matters. But the problem is that Scripture says that there is so much more that happens. There is so much more that goes on. Let me ask you today, have you secured your place for eternity? Because whether you realize it or not, you're on a path for eternity, for everlasting life somewhere. And if you haven't settled that with Jesus Christ, with our Lord, you are on the path that leads to everlasting destruction. You will eventually be cast into the lake of fire where there is burning and there's gnashing of teeth. And folks, it is not a fun place, and it's not something that's enjoyable to talk about. But it is reality. It is talked about in Scripture. It is very much real. It is as real as I am standing here today. And folks, we need to realize that if we do not have our eternal security secure, we will spend eternity separated from God, separated from Him in a place that it is so terrible, it is, like I said, hard to talk about, but we need to talk about it. And let me share with you, there is hope in Scripture, though. It's not like we just have all this darkness and deepness. It's like, oh man, I don't have any hope of this. God gives us the plan of salvation in His Word. But who needs this salvation? When you realize that when we sin, we are separated from God. Romans 3:10 says that there is none righteous, no, not one. You know, this whole movement today that, well, each person's kind of naturally good. It just kind of, there's moments where sin comes along and we kind of fall away. No, man is naturally evil. Man is not righteous. Not a single one of us can say that we are good in and of ourselves. There's nothing good about us. We might have good tendencies that kind of would relate in good things. But if we look at it in ourselves, in our hearts, in our lives, we realize how sinful we are. And we realize that we are not righteous, that not a single one of us has anything righteous in us. You see, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have fallen short. All of our good works, all the things that we have done in life, whatever we have tried to attain, if we have an idea of eternal life in heaven, if we try to attain that on our own, we have fallen short. We can't get there. If you ever seen the illustration of this bridge spanning a canyon, you see, our works kind of go part way across and then they just fall short. You know, going to church continually goes a little bit and then it just falls short. Nothing will get us to eternal, everlasting life in heaven apart from Jesus Christ. There is no other way into heaven but through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23 tells us that because of our sin, we have earned everlasting death. You see, Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." But that's not where the verse ends. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." See, folks, it doesn't just say it is life while we're here on this earth. It is eternal life. Life that lasts for an eternity, for this whole length of this rope that goes on forever, is that eternal life. By ourselves, we have earned something. We have earned death and separation from God. But in God and in trusting in Him, by placing our faith and trust in Him, we can have that everlasting life. We can have that hope, and we can know that it is true. Because Romans 10:13 tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If we but call on the name of the Lord and ask Him to save us and repent of our sins, He promises to save us. It's not like something we have to be worried about. Like, am I really saved? Did I really earn my way in there? Because the easy thing to understand there is we can never earn our way. There's nothing that we can do. Jesus Christ paid that debt. And now He is giving us that free gift of salvation. He paid the debt in our place. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe that He is risen from the dead, we shall be saved. Folks, I'm here to tell you today that you can have hope for eternity, that you can know for sure where you're going to spend eternity. Do you know today? If you're sitting here today and you don't know where you're sitting, where you're going to spend eternity, please do not leave here today without getting that set straight with the Lord. If you're still confused about some things, please talk with one of us pastors. Talk with the person that you came with today. Talk to someone that you know can take you to Scripture, and we can show you how to be saved. Folks, because there's nothing that we can ever do to earn everlasting life in heaven, because we have earned that separation from God, but we can be with Him. We can be a part of His family for eternity if we accept that free gift of salvation. So we realize that we all need to accept that free gift. My hope that it is that everyone here has accepted that free gift already. And if you're a believer here today, and you have come to the point where you realize that you needed to settle where you're going to spend eternity, and you have asked Jesus Christ to save you, and you now are a part of His family, we obviously realize that it doesn't end there. It ends in the sense that we no longer have to worry about where we're going to spend eternity. That debt is paid. That price is settled. There is nothing else that we have to do. We are headed to heaven. But we shouldn't just live the rest of our lives for ourselves. You see, we owe such a great debt, we could never, ever repay it. But we could do the best that we can while we're here on this earth to do everything to be focused on the Lord and to live in light of eternity. And that's exactly what we see here and the rest of this passage in 1 Peter. Look with me in verse 7 in the second part there. We see now how we as believers should live with an eternal perspective. This is how to live with an eternal perspective. First of all, we need to be sober and watchful with prayer. The end of verse 7 there says, "Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Literally here, Peter is calling the believers to be clear-minded and self-controlled. You see, he just made the statement here, but the end of all things is at hand. None of us ever know, like I said, when Christ is going to come back. But throughout history, many people have tried to say, well, this is the day that Christ is coming back. What inadvertently happens when those people's followers hear that Christ is coming back on this day? There's a little bit of panic that sets in. Like, got to get all these things in order. I got to figure all these things out. This is crazy. Christ is coming back today. You know, the reason that we don't know when Christ is coming back, we couldn't handle that. There's no way that we could handle that. It is so much better to realize that he could come back right now. That he could come back tomorrow. We need to realize that Jesus Christ is coming back, but we don't know when. But this should not cause us to be fearful. This should not cause us to be living in a place where we're just scared out of our minds that he could come back at any point in time. That our lives could end before he even comes back. That death could be here. Jesus Christ did not call us to be living in fear. He is calling us here specifically in this passage to be living a clear-minded life and that is self-controlled. Instead of letting the brevity of life control us and control our thoughts and to tear us down, we are challenged to think rationally about it. We are challenged here by Peter that we should in turn think rationally about it and it should lead us to prayer. Folks, in the most difficult times of life, if we don't understand what's going on, it should lead us to talk to our Lord and Savior. Because aren't we thankful that we can have that relationship with God? That he's not just a God where he saves us and then he's off on this mountaintop and we just kind of have to go through people to him. We have to go through a priest to him. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Amen. Jesus Christ is our direct intercessor before God. And we can go to him at any time. And we can have that personal relationship with our Lord and Savior. It is such an amazing thing. But we so often neglect that. We so often just don't think about that. But we can go to him in prayer. We can spend time with him. And when we're feeling weighed down by the possibility of the end of our life, by the possibility of the end of the world, we should in turn go to the Lord. We should spend time in prayer with him. Think of the examples of the people in Scripture who, when faced with death, it led them to prayer. Think of Daniel. We talked about him a couple weeks ago. When he was faced with death multiple times, he sought the Lord. He went to the Lord in prayer. You think of David, you know, when he was faced with those many situations where his own son was trying to kill him, he sought the Lord. He went before him. Think in Psalm 9, 9 through 10, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. God has not forsaken us. If we seek him, he will come to us. He is with us. He's not the one that's away from us. We're going away from him. He is there ready and waiting to help us, to give us that strength. So not only do we need to, first of all, be sober and be in self-control and lead us to prayer, but secondly, what Peter says here is that we need to have a sacrificial love for others. Another way that we can show that we're living in light of eternity with an eternal perspective is to have sacrificial love for other believers. Specifically, for everyone, but specifically for other believers. Look at verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. You know, you look throughout anywhere, specifically in the New Testament, we realize that love is emphasized time and time again. If we do things without love, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that it's a waste. That no matter how good of a person we are, no matter how much the ministry we're involved in, if we're doing it without love, it counts for nothing. Do we truly have love for those around us? Christ emphasized love. In Matthew chapter 22, he's asked, what's the greatest commandment? He says that you will love the Lord your God. Have a love for God. And he said the second greatest commandment is that you love one another. I love the phrasing that he used there, that you love others as you love yourself. Boy, do we love ourselves. Boy, if we had to choose between ourselves and other people around us, we would choose ourselves every time, naturally. It's what we're made to do in our natural flesh. We don't have to tell us that we have to love ourselves. We naturally love ourselves a lot. Do we love others as we love ourselves? Do we have a love for fellow believers as much as we love ourselves? Do we go out of our way to take care of other people as we would take care of ourselves naturally? You know, Christ is telling us that we need to, first of all, have the perspective of loving Him, of loving God alone, but then loving others right underneath of that. To take the love that He has for us, to give it back to Him, and then to give it to those around us. To show that love, that true Christian love. You see, considering the brevity of life should push the attention off of ourselves and place it on others. It shouldn't have just caused us to get into this tight little ball and say, oh, I'm so scared, I'm so nervous, I don't know what I'm going to do. It should cause us to take care of those around us. To show that true love for everyone that is around us in our lives. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. See, the end of verse 8 here. There's a little bit of a confusing phrase. It says, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You read this literally, you may be like, okay, so this means if I love a bunch of people and I'm showing a lot of love, then I can also sin a bunch and then it's just kind of a clean slate. As long as I'm loving more than I'm sinning, it covers a multitude of sins. Boy, if it was just a little reading like that, that'd be really nice. Just make sure everyone's loving. I think everyone would be loving a lot, but I don't think it'd be very genuine love. And that's not the meaning of this passage. When it says that charity or love shall cover a multitude of sins, what it is referring to is that this means that the love that we have for other believers should lead to forgiveness on our part if they sin against us. You see, if we have a true love for someone else, we also need to be real about it and realize that we're all human and we're going to sin against one another. We're going to do something that's going to upset someone. They're going to do something that's going to upset us. But if we have true love for them, it's going to cover a multitude of sins. It's going to make us to show forgiveness for them. It's going to have forgiveness in our heart and realize that they have sinned against us. You know what? They may not deserve to be forgiven, but did we deserve to be forgiven by Jesus Christ on the cross? No way. And all the sins that we place on His shoulders that He bore for us, there is no way that we ever deserve to be forgiven for that. And yet, in a small way, we need to show forgiveness to those around us when they sin against us. For charity covereth a multitude of sins. It's not like we're just putting a blind eye up to sin and then it happens. But we're covering that sin with love and we're saying, we forgive you. Because I'm not looking at you as a sinner. I'm looking at you as a redeemed child of Jesus Christ. And as a fellow brother and sister in Christ, I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to love you. Are we practicing that today? Are we fine and okay with everyone as long as they treat us right? And as soon as something happens, we get all upset about it and we don't really care about loving them? If we're living in light of eternity, we will have forgiveness in our heart. We will have love for them no matter what they do. And we will show the love to them that God showed to us. Then lastly, this type of love should lead to a, very literally said, a happy hospitality. Look at verse 9. Use hospitality to one another without grudging. That's what I mean by happy hospitality. If you open your home to people, you're kind of opening yourself up to potential issues. You realize that when people come and visit, it's, you know, even if you love them and stuff's going to happen. It's going to be inconvenient. But it doesn't mean that it's wrong. This means if you have people into your home that you should do it with grudging, with a wrong attitude, to where you do it for a while and then you're like, well, I'm not going to do that again because people keep messing up stuff, or my kitchen is never in the right position and everybody, they put their pots and pans back where the cups go and everything's over here, the bed's never made. You just get all upset about it. Are we showing hospitality with love? Are we doing it without grudging, without getting upset about it? Are we even showing hospitality at all? Are we openly having people into our homes? Are we open to when missionaries come, we can share our homes with others? Now, I understand not everyone is in the situation to have a lot to give. But we all have something to give. We all have something that we can give hospitably to others with. Are we doing it happily? Are we doing it without a grudging attitude, without grumbling and complaining? What Peter says, if we're living in light of eternity, we will have hospitality that is just overflowing. And that is loving, and that is kind, and we don't get tired of it. And then the third thing that we see here is that we need to use your God-given gifts. Use your God-given gifts. Look here in verse 10. And as every man hath received the gift, so even so minister the same one to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Each one of us has a gift that God has given us. It could be a many different things, just broken up into two categories here. We see speaking gifts, and we see gifts of serving. Speaking gifts could be a number of different things. Speaking gifts can be what I'm doing right now, preaching. It could be teaching that you do in Sunday school for the children and the adult classes. It could be the speaking through the gift of exhortation, through encouraging other people and helping them out. But maybe that's not something that you really feel you're gifted with. You're kind of more of the behind-the-scenes person. Then you have the gift of serving. There's a lot of different types of gifts of serving. You could provide meals for people when they need it. Kind of going back to the hospitality, that's a gift, opening up your home to people. You can have the gift of visiting people, just taking some time out of your day to go visit those that can't get out. You can have the gift of providing meals. We've had many chat and chews. A lot of you are some incredible cooks. You could go take some food to people that really can't afford to get nice food or can't really get out and have anything other than just a TV dinner. We all have different gifts that we can use. Do you understand what your gift is? And are you using it for the Lord? Or are we just kind of rejecting it? You see, our gifts are a responsibility. They're not supposed to be a weight that we just kind of feel, oh man, this is. I really wish I didn't have this, but I'll do it. You know, I'll do this, but I don't really want to. Man, our gifts are a responsibility that God has given us to use for His glory. To do it with such a love as we just talked about for others, that we enjoy it and use that gift for the Lord. You see, our gifts are an easy way. And I'm saying easy because it takes time, but compared to the light of things, just using your gifts for the Lord, it's an easy way to show that you're living in light of eternity. Because God has given us so much. And then at the end here, the last thing that we see as someone that is living in light of eternity, at the end of verse 11, we see that we need to seek to glorify God in everything that we do. It says in the end of verse 11, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You realize if we do these things that we just talked about, if we are living a life that is under self-control and is seeking the Lord in prayer, and that is, and it is continually showing love to one another and hospitality, and we're using our gifts for the Lord, then we are bringing God glory. But our whole purpose here on life, in life as Christians, is to bring God glory, and we can do that through doing these different things. Are we doing that today? We should be doing, as 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, that whether therefore we eat or drink, whether we're out serving, whether we're at our workplace, whether we're at church, whether we're at a sports event, whether we're doing anything that we do all to the glory of God. And by doing so, we will be saying that we're not trying to live for this small little portion, this little red portion of our lives, of eternity. This life here on earth is not what matters. We're saying that we are instead living for eternity. And that we using this small little portion of our life for the rest of eternity and the impact that it can have for years and years and thousands of years to come. So are you living your life with an eternal perspective? If you're a believer, can you say that your life lines up with what this passage is saying? Can you look at your life and say that, yeah, I'm doing those different things, or I'm trying? Or, wow, I really hadn't really thought about that. Eternity really matters for me after I'm saved. And I should really be serving the Lord. I should be loving others. I should be seeking the Lord in prayer in light of the end of the times and the light of the potential end of my life, whenever that is. Are we living in light of eternity as believers? Are you here today, and maybe you've never even considered this before? You have not accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior, just as I talked about in the verses in Romans. Realize that we all need Jesus Christ. We all need to be saved. And if you accepted His free gift of salvation, if you have not, I would ask you that today be that day of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for Your word. Lord, I thank You that we can see so clearly the things that we need to do as believers. Lord, You have challenged us to live with that eternal perspective. Lord, not to be focused on the short time period that we have here on this earth, but Lord, to be focused on what you would have for us for eternity. Lord, help us not to be holding back from you what we could give you, the many things that you have blessed us. Help us to use what you have given us for your glory. Help us to use the many different things that you have given us in order to see your ministry and your gospel spread all over the world. Lord, I pray that if there is anyone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. And that all of us could leave these doors here today knowing for sure where we're going to spend eternity. That this just isn't just another way to get to heaven, it's the only way. Lord, I pray that you would do a great work this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I would ask you to turn with me to number 661. Number 661, as we stand. Number 661, face to face. All of us are going to face our Lord and Savior face to face one day. First of all, are you ready to face Him face to face? Are you ready as a believer? Have you accepted His free gift of salvation? But then also, as a believer, are we ready to face Him face to face, realizing that we lived our life for ourselves? Or are we facing Him, realizing that we have lived for eternity? And that we have done what He has asked of us. Let's think about that as we sing this song, number 661, Face to Face.
Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.
I challenge you as we sing this last verse, if you need to get something right with the Lord, if you need to talk to the Lord, if you need to talk to one of us pastors, please come up here right now. And if you need to get something right with the Lord in your seat, do that right now as well. As we sing the last on 661, number 4.
Face to face, oh blissful moment. Face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ.
This young man is Wyatt, and many of you know, how many of you know Wyatt? Amen. Wyatt wanted to share with everybody that he accepted Christ,
awesome.
That he is living in light of eternity.